the truth. It's an important thing to know. And that's one of the reasons why we're so delighted to be in contact with the Scriptures. The Bible reveals to us the truth about the origin of the world. It was created by God in 6 days. It tells us the truth about ourselves. We were born sinful, in need of a Savior. It tells us the truth about that Savior. He's Jesus Christ, the only holy Son of God. It tells us the truth about salvation. We are saved by grace through faith in Christ. And it tells us the truth about the truth. One would like to think that such a revelation would not be necessary. One would like to think that it would be broadly recognized that there is such a thing as absolute truth and that it is to be found in the Scriptures. But sadly, that is not the case. There are many in the world who deny that absolute truth even exists. In order to protect us from such delusionary thinking, therefore, Jesus provides us with a wonderfully succinct, short, brief statement on this topic, found in a portion of Scripture that we were considering this morning in college religion class, John 17, sometimes referred to as Jesus' high priestly prayer or his farewell prayer. And he says there very simply, speaking to his Father, "Your word is truth." Continuing to linger just a little longer in the shadow of our Reformation observance, we consider how significant this biblical concept was for Luther and the Reformers. For one of the basic tenets of the Reformation set forth was sola scriptura, by Scripture alone. With this short phrase, the Reformers reaffirmed and reiterated the teaching of our text, namely that in matters of faith and life, there is but one authority, the Word of God, and it is absolute truth. Centuries after the Reformation reiterated this foundational principle, however, another voice emerged on German soil. It was a voice that arose to deny that same principle, that principle so wonderfully heralded by the Reformers. The voice belonged to a man named Friedrich Nietzsche. Unlike Luther, he totally rejected the teaching that there is such a thing as truth. As a matter of fact, he seemed to reject that whether in the Bible or anywhere else, you simply couldn't find absolute truth. This is one of his quotes. He said, "There are no eternal facts, as there are no absolute truths." Nietzsche is part of a group of people called philosophers, and quite often the philosophers of this world are among those who flatly reject the notion of absolute truth, biblical or otherwise. The starting point for many of them is a complete abandonment of the Scriptures, the point from which then they attempt to answer life's questions on the basis of their own thinking, thoughts, emotions. The results, of course, are dismal and deadly. All that someone like Nietzsche is capable of coming up with, having rejected the Scriptures, is the pitiful conclusion that truth does not actually exist. And operating, as he did, in such a spiritual vacuum, he came up with some devilish conclusions, perhaps the most famous of which is his statement, "Gott ist tot," God is dead. It is from such dangerous and depressing philosophy that Jesus intends to shield us and protect us. And he does so through this reassuring, comforting message of our text. Not only is there such a thing as absolute truth, it's readily and easily accessible to us in the Scriptures. The one who has created us has also supplied us with all that we need to know for the living of earthly life, and even more importantly, the securing of eternal joy. And how wonderful and reassuring that word of the Lord is. As we read and study the Scripture, the Holy Spirit reveals to us that we're in contact with something very different from any other writing. Unlike anything that comes up from any other author, the Scriptures are timeless, trustworthy, thoroughly true, and what a relief it is to know that there is such a thing as eternal truth. One has to pity those who are deceived by the devil into thinking that truth is only illusionary and that it is merely a relative thing. Imagine how awful that would be. How frightening to live life and have nothing but a huge question mark at the end of one's road. How frustrating to think that there might not actually be a God to whom one inevitably feels the need to turn in the time of challenge. God dead? How unfulfilling life would be if one really believed that there were no absolute guides, no eternal truths, no divinely designed purposes for our lives. And such is the sad lot for anyone who has rejected the revealed will of God in the Scriptures. I suppose Nietzsche thought he was doing humanity a service by sharing these philosophical dreams. I suppose he figured that he was somehow liberating mankind from the shackles of established truth, when in fact he was the one imprisoned, bound, locked into a lie. His was hardly the last word on the topic of truth, a point made, I think, successfully by another t-shirt in this brief series of t-shirt testimonies. This one announces with a quote, "God is dead, Nietzsche," but continues, "Nietzsche is dead, God." Whether or not God actually verbalizes such things, the point is in keeping with what we know from the Bible. God has the last word on truth, and his word is absolutely true, the truth that does so very much for us. Through that truth comes calming peace. We know what awaits us. Through Christ, we have gates of paradise open before us, ready to receive us to glory. Through that faith comes complete confidence. We know we have a Savior, a Shepherd, who's with us every step of the way to guide and bless. Through that truth comes meaningful purpose. We know that we have all been given a role to carry out, to play, to fulfill in the service of the kingdom until our Savior returns. The danger of falling prey to such worldly philosophy might seem remote to us, might seem far away, since we are surrounded by the Word of God on a daily basis. But you only have to go as far as the television set or a secular institution of higher learning to be hit with this challenge, this denial of such a basic biblical teaching. Recognizing this danger ever to be present, the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Colossians writes, Colossians, "Beware lest anyone rob you through philosophy and empty deceit after the tradition of men, after the principles of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power." Jesus Christ is all we need. In him we have life, in him we have salvation, in him we have complete revelation of all that we need to know, and that is the truth. We sing of this in the form of hymn 286.